arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, everywhere at the same time, all-knowledgeable, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is the called of God. My text is Romans 8:28, which states, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." The verse starts off by saying, "And we know." The "we" represent the Christians. The Christians know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his eternal purpose. God weaves everything together for good for his children. The good in this context does not refer to earthly comfort, but conformity to Christ, closer fellowship with God, bearing good fruit for the kingdom, and final glorification. Glorious assurance. And this, it seems, was a household word, a known thing among believers. This working of all things for good is done naturally to them that love God, because such souls, persuaded that he who gave his own son for them cannot but mean them well in all his procedures, learn thus to take in good part whatever he sends them, however trying to the flesh and blood. And to them who are the called according to his purpose, all things do in the same intelligible way work together for good. For even when he have his way in the whirlwind, they see his chariot paved with love. And knowing that it is in pursuance of an eternal purpose of love that they have been called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, they naturally say within themselves, "It cannot be that he of whom and through whom and to whom are all things should suffer that purpose to be defeated by anything really adverse to us, or that he should not make all things dark as well as light, crooked as well as straight, to cooperate to the furtherance and final completion of his high design." Verses 29 and 30 states, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." God's foreknowledge of his own people means his peculiar, gracious satisfaction in them, while his predestinating or foreordaining them signifies his fixed purpose, flowing from this, to save them and call them with an holy calling, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that is, to be his sons after the pattern, model, our image of his sonship in our nature, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn, the son by nature, his many brethren, sons by adoption. He in the humanity of the only begotten of the Father, bearing our sins on the accursed tree, that they in that of mere men ready to perish by reason of sin, but redeemed by his blood from condemnation and wrath, and transformed into his likeness. He, the firstborn from the dead, they that sleep in Jesus, to be in due time brought with him. The firstborn, now crowned with glory and honor, his many brethren, when he shall appear, to be like him, for they shall see him as he is. Now in predestinating us to be conformed to the image of his Son in final glory, he settled all the rest of the steps of it. Thus whom he did predestinate, them he also called. The word call is never in the epistles of the New Testament applied to those who have only the outward invitation of the gospel. It always means internally, effectually, savingly called. It denotes the first great step in personal salvation and answers to conversion. Only the word conversion expresses the change of character, which then takes place, whereas this calling expresses the divine owner of the change and the sovereign power by which we are called. Just like Matthew and Zacchaeus, out of our old, wretched, perishing condition, into a new, safe, blessed life. And whom he called, thus them he also justified, brought into the definite state of reconciliation. And whom he justified, them he also glorified, brought to final glory, received resurrection bodies on the last day. Those who believe in Christ can be assured that all things work together for good, because God has always been doing good for them, starting from creation, the distant past, continuing in their conversion, the recent past, and then on to the day of Christ's return, the future. Verses 31 and 32 state, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" The opposition of unbelievers and Satan will never succeed, since God is for us. If God be resolved and engaged to bring us through, all our enemies must be his. And who shall set their briars and thorns against him in battle? He will go through them. He will burn them together. What great consolation is here? No, but the great pledge of all has already been given. For he surely, not sparing his own Son, but surrendering him, God exercised in his paternal character a mysterious act of self-sacrifice, which far transcended in such acts of ours, as his nature is above the creatures. Understand Christ's sonship thus, and the language of Scripture regarding it is intelligible and harmonious. Delivered him up, not to death merely, for that is too narrow an idea here, but surrendered him in the most comprehensive sense. For John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for us all, that is, for all believers alike. How can we conceive that he should not freely give us all things, all of the gifts, being not only immeasurably less than this gift of gifts, but virtually included in it?" Self-checkout arrived in the late 1980s at the supermarkets. A decade later, it began spreading to big box chains and drug stores. Now self-checkout, loved by some and hated by others, has entered discount clothing and department stores. Kohl's is testing self-checkout stations at a handful of stores. H&M added them at 3 stores and plans to roll the program out to more than 30 stores by the end of 2023. Bed Bath & Beyond first tried self-checkouts at its flagship in New York City in 2021 and has since added them to several locations. Zara has added it at 20 of its largest U.S. cities. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and now sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for believers. "And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, a breath of fresh air from Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is God Loves You. When my son was a teenager, God used him to save a young boy from drowning while whitewater rafting along the Nantahala River. When asked by a reporter how he was able to save the young boy, my son replied, "It was the hand of God." That's the good news of God's love. It reaches out to save us when we are drowning, not from water, but from our sin. From Genesis to Revelation, the story of humanity's lowest depth and God's highest height can be expressed in the 25 beautiful words of John 3:16, which declares, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This great verse portrays God's nature as a God who loves deeply, and it shows God's rescue plan for mankind through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's take a closer look at this great verse. God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity, believeth, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest attraction, should not perish, the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. God loves you more in 1 second than anyone could love you in a lifetime. But are your feelings or circumstances blocking you from accepting God's love? It doesn't matter if you are young or old, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, tall or short, big or small, single or married, straight or gay, sophisticated or ordinary, black or white, or anyone in between, God still loves you. Remember, we have all violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. Yet, be encouraged, because God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and arose so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first. Trust and obey his word, and know that God is love and God loves you.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese inviting you to listen to Word